Good morning again. Man, God is worthy of our praise. His name is to be exalted among the people. And what a great thing it is to get in a big room filled with people making a joyful noise to the Lord. I mean, we should feel like shouting on a Sunday morning, right? There is a lot to be thankful for. There's a lot to rejoice over. There is a lot of things that aren't going that well, but there are a lot more things that should put a smile on our face, a spring in our step, and confidence in our heart, because Jesus said it's finished, it's done, it's over, I've won, we are victorious in Him and through Him, and we are thankful for that this morning. This morning I want to look at a verse in Leviticus, actually. It's just part of the verse. It's an inscription actually found on the Liberty Bell that's in Philadelphia. It says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning and we are just overflowing with gratitude and praise and thankfulness for your love. For the power of your Spirit that is alive and well within your church. We thank you for giving us vision, for opening our eyes to see the day that's approaching. And Father, we pray now that as we look into your word and as we think about the time such as this day that we're living in, Father, that you would pour out your Spirit on us, Lord, that we would live in a way that's pleasing and honorable to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been thinking, you know, this week I've been thinking a great deal about Memorial Day and what it means and what it stands for. But I would say for the last, you know, 5-10 years, with everything that's been going on in our country, I've been thinking about the bigger picture of what America stands for. And you know, what makes America great? There's this slogan that says, you know, "Make America Great Again." And to some people that resonates, and other people are like, "Well, what do you mean, make America great again? What are you going back to?" And so there's different connotations for different people depending on how you view the times that we're living in, or even how you view where we've come from. Is America great? Was it great? What does America stand for? What is the purpose of America on the global stage as we look at what we stand for and what we die for? Memorial Day is a day set aside to honor the American, the military, the soldiers, the men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in line of duty, who have given their life defending the Constitution of the United States of America. Is there anybody in here served in the military, armed services? I want to thank you this morning for your service. And all, yes. And anyone who's ever served in the military, they had to, at MEPS, raise their right hand and repeat after me. And you say, you know, "I," and insert your name, "do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic." You know, so America stands for something. The fact that we have a military, a standing army, a standing military force, means that as a nation, we stand for something. We have a purpose. We have a motive. And we have an intention. We have a vision for where we've come from and where we are going. And so we have a day we call Memorial Day. Memorials are a way to remember the past. It's a way to remember where we've come from and where we've gone. And we talked a little bit about Israel crossing the Jordan. We've been talking about it in Sunday school. And so when Israel came to the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and seeing God do great and miraculous things. God brings the nation of Israel to the edge of the river Jordan, and there he commands them, Joshua, after they cross, the river stops flowing and they cross on dry land. And the Bible says that God commands Joshua to tell one person from each of the 12 tribes to go down into the river, and they're to bring up a stone, and they're to stack them at the edge of the river. It will be a memorial to them, so that when your children ask you, hey, what do these stones mean? You will tell them what God has done, how he stopped the Jordan and you crossed on dry land. The memorial was to be a fixed physical object to remind them so that they wouldn't forget where they came from, what God had done, and where they were going. And so here we are, Monday's Memorial Day, and we're asking, well, what is Memorial today? And is it possible for our memorials to lose their meaning, for us to forget where we've come from and where we're going? Can we get to a place where the culture of today has a vision for the country that runs in opposition to the vision that the people had who built that memorial? It wasn't long before Israel wanted a king. They had given up following God and they wanted to be like the rest of the world. And we can be like that. We can have memorials all around us, but we can still lose our sight. We can still forget about where we're going. So what do all these deaths mean? All of this blood that has been spilt over 200 years for this idea, for this constitution that military men and women claim to defend with their lives. What is all that blood worth? What is the meaning of it? Solomon said, vanity of vanities, everything is vanity. Did these men and women die in vain? Was their sacrifice for nothing? What does it signify? And I want you to hold this question in your mind this morning as we're thinking about Memorial Day. What is worth dying for? What are you willing to die for? Where is your line in the sand? Where will you take your stand? And after you've done all that you can do to stand there, you stand firm and say, I will not back down from this place, because there is something in me. There is a spirit that lives within me, and God has created his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I'm not going anywhere, regardless of what enemy or foe comes against me, no matter its size. That same spirit that lived in David, that caused him to go out into the battlefield and face the giant Goliath, lived in a people and they took a stand. And they said, it's worth dying for independence. It's worth dying for emancipation. Martin Luther King said that he had been to the mountaintop and he had seen the other side. And he took a stand for something, knowing full well that it was likely to cost him his life. But he did not shrink back from death to save himself. Some things are worth dying for. Have you ever wondered why a lot of the Arab world calls Israel little Satan and the United States the big Satan? We are in the middle of a spiritual war, and last week we talked about how easy it is to forget what's going on because we get so hyper-focused in our day-to-day, our daily life, on our to-do list, on, I got a million things to do, and there's just all this pressure and that's on us, and so there's this pressure to conform to the pattern of this world, to have our light snuffed out because we get caught up in the cares, the worries, and the pleasures of life. And so we lose sight. We lose our vision of the big picture. We forgot where we come from and where we are going and the power that we have been given for which we can take a stand in the darkness. And the powers of hell cannot prevail against us. We forgot that it is God who is building his church. And when he calls out an army to take a stand, there is nothing. There is no one. There is no force or power under the sun that can prevail against it. And this is why Gideon was able to go out against a force greater than himself and say, no, you're not going to come in here and take my hard work year after year and decimate my people. Because people take a stand for freedom. They take a stand for justice. They say there is something here in the darkness worth dying for. Because when we live for the light, it brings freedom. And when darkness reigns, it brings death and destruction. And we can look back at history and we can see how there has been a fight between good and evil taking place. We can see how good people take a stand and they speak out against injustice. They speak out against foreign powers like Germany when Hitler thought that he would completely wipe out the Jewish race. In this world, God has revealed himself. He started out, you know, this is the big picture. God revealed himself through the nation of Israel. He revealed himself in spite of them. And he carries them through the wilderness. He protects them. He leads them. And in spite of all that, they still turn from God. And so God sends his Messiah through the chosen people, through Israel. And it says, the Bible tells us that Israel rejected their Messiah. And the Bible says that there is a hardness of heart that has come over the Jewish people that so that they can't see their Messiah until the fullness of the Gentile come. You know, that everybody that's not a Jew, that is not Hebrew by birth, by nationality, until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And we can see how Christianity spread from this little tribe of Hebrew people, and it spread throughout the Western world and through Europe. And we can see the birth of the Catholic Church and how the Catholic Church rose to power and how that power corrupted it within itself. And we can see this ungodly reliance, alliance between the king with the sovereign as the sovereign with the right of a sovereign and the church and how these things work together throughout history and kind of corrupted itself. And we can see the birth of the Protestant movement as someone spoke out against the church, against the state. And listen, when people spoke out against the church in that day and age, they did so at their own peril, because if the church didn't like what you were saying, if you thought that you'll go ahead and print the Bible in the common vernacular so everyone can read the Word of God for themselves and that the church would be for that, you're wrong. They burned those people at the stake. And so there was a group of people that fled from Europe and they were fleeing religious persecution. They wanted a place where they could worship God according to their own conscience. They had seen how the state church can go wrong. And so on a little bell in a courthouse in Pennsylvania, the inscription reads, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants." Ben Franklin writes about hearing this bell ringing to call him back to the work of politics in 1775. We took our kids to Philadelphia a few years ago, and we walked into the Liberty Bell. It has its own museum in front of Independence Hall. And so, you know, you go in there and there's this huge room that's like a sanctuary, and this piece of history is sitting there with that big old crack running down it. And there's so much symbolism in this ancient artifact that it's almost like walking into a holy place. You know, it's like standing next to the ocean where you're overwhelmed, your senses, and you just have that feeling of awe of standing before something larger than yourself. It's like that chapter in Wind in the Willows when, you know, the river animals, they're gathered in this meadow and there's this sense of the holy. There's a sense of something greater than man. There's a sense of that we've stumbled through the veil and we've come into the presence of our Creator. Joni Erickson Tada writes about an experience after she had become a paraplegic. They had stopped along the roadside, and there's this meadow, and it's springtime, and there's birds, and there's butterflies. But beyond all, just of what you can see in this physical world, she said something happened where it's like the veil was pulled back. And she stood in the presence of God. And you know truth this way. You know it because there is a spirit that testifies in our heart. And we know that it's true because God testifies of himself. One of the highest decorations, the highest military award that you can receive in the military is the Medal of Honor. And this award is most often given posthumously, after death. And it is given for acts of valor, of acts of bravery, of going above and beyond the call of duty. And you know, I have never experienced a brotherhood, a camaraderie, a friendship of a level that runs so deep as I have in the military. And I think we should also experience that kind of brotherhood within a church, because we are in a war and nothing can knit hearts together like it is when you depend on the person to your left and right for your life. And there is something special that happens in a brotherhood like this where men and women, they'll see their brother or their friend in trouble, and they would rather give their own life than go on living without their friend. And we say that's important. We lift that up as being a great and a noble thing. And why do we do that? Because Jesus said, there is no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so when you ask me, like, what I think about Memorial Day is a memorial built by the blood and sacrifice of our sons and daughters, of our forefathers, who said, this is worth dying for. This is where we've come from. This is where we're going. What are you willing to die for? Jesus said there's no greater love than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Maybe a better question is, who are you dying for? Viktor Frankl said the meaning of life is found in giving our lives for something bigger than ourselves. And I believe that we come from a nation of people, from a founding that held on to that truth as though it were life itself. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, government doesn't give you your rights. Our founding fathers instituted a more perfect union, that a government that derives its right from the consent of the people. Some things are worth dying for. I love the battle hymn of the Republic. The last verse says, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. He died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free. God is marching on. There's something going on here in the darkness. There is a reason why we're called the Big Satan. Because there is a light shining through this nation that the darkness wants to stomp out, that it wants to eliminate, that it wants to see gone from the face of the earth. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. So this is about 20 years before he becomes president of the United States. He's giving a speech because in the nation at the time, there was a lawlessness that was going around. There were mobs of people that were out of control. There was an abolitionist poet who had been caught by a mob and killed because of his anti-slavery attitude. And Lincoln was living in a world where this was the fight of their day. And he says, at what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all times or die by suicide. If we lose our freedom, it will not be because an enemy takes it from us. It will be because we forfeit it. It will be because we lose our identity, because we forget who we are, because we've become common slaves again to our base desires. Just as there is nothing in heaven or on earth that can separate us from the love of God, there is no enemy strong enough to defeat a free people who find their freedom in the presence of God Himself. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's no freedom void apart from the Spirit of God. John Adams says, remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. And he also said that our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Morality and virtue are the foundation of our republic and necessary for a society to be free. What makes America great? The Spirit of the living God. What makes men free? The Spirit of the living God. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That's a truth that the darkness is coming for in strategic ways. And you know, we looked around us at what has happened recently and what was going on in public schools and in the church. It's like we woke up and we're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the enemy has been following a vision for a very long time. And the long march to the institutions did not begin in 2020, but in the early 1900s. If we take our eyes off of where we've come from, we will lose sight of where we're going. And there will come a vision from the culture, from the nation, that wants to go somewhere that leads farther and farther away from this freedom that America was founded on which the civil rights movement was won, on which the freedom of every individual in this nation hangs. The Army's motto since 1778 has been, this will defend. This, what are they defending? They're defending the Constitution. We hold these truths to be self-evident. that all men are created equal. We have the right of free speech. I was asked once, I gave a class to some middle school kids on Veterans Day about being a veteran. And they asked me what I think about flag burning. And for me, you know, we think about Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a memorial built by the sacrifice and the blood of those who did not consider their lives. They didn't shrink back from death. And so, you know, for me, the flag is a symbol of all of that blood and sacrifice. That thing that they're burning is what makes it possible for them to burn it. You know, it's so much like the cross. You know, Jesus came and he died at the hands of sinful and wicked men. And he very much died because of my sins. I love that in the movie Mel Gibson did, The Passion of Christ, the hands that nail Jesus to the cross. You know, Mel Gibson's made a lot of mistakes. It's one thing he got right. Those are his hands. It's my sin that nails Jesus to the cross. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And that is the passion, that is the emotion, that is the heart behind America that says, I might hate what you want to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And that is why in America you can burn the flag if you want to. But I would encourage those that would do so to think about maybe going to Iran and burning their flag in the name of women's rights. Other countries don't have individual rights. America does. Because we believe God gives us that right. And because we believe God gives us that right, we know. We know in a way that we know the truth that nobody can take that right from me. I have to forfeit it. And so as we close today, I'm asking you, what are you willing to die for? Would you choose to live free or die? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this monument that we have before us today, this memorial of lives that were given in the pursuit of being a city on a hill. In the pursuit of being the freest nation on the face of the earth. In the pursuit of being a people that stand for something greater than themselves. To be a nation that we can be proud of. To be a people with a constitution that we can lift high and say, this is important. It's more important than my own life, and I will die defending it. Because we don't believe governments need to use coercion to get the people to do what they want them to do. Because we believe that freedom comes from God and not from people thinking they know what's best for me or how to save me. And so we put our fate in the hands of God. And we hold on to the truth. Because Jesus says, if you hold on to my words, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when we find freedom, the church is left with a testimony and your word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, we pray that the testimony of the church will grow and grow as we win this victory, this freedom that you offer to your people who are called by your name. And we're your church here in the darkness. And even the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
As we close, let's stand. Let's sing one last chorus together.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Church, have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Thanks for worshiping with us.